And this is one of those, because I know, as I said this morning, there has to be a starting point somewhere or another. And not that I'm the best example, I'm sure of that, of what it was all about. But back in the 1940s, in the middle of 1940s, I was somewhere around 14 and a half years of age when God really dealt with my heart about this thing called salvation. And I would that I had grew in the Lord more than I did to start out with. And I don't blame the preacher. I don't blame the church for me not growing as I should have grown. I was old enough to know what I ought to do. But like most of us, somehow or another, the flesh along about that time thinks that it ought to have a place in your life. And, of course, the flesh always gets us in trouble. And there's some heartaches at the beginning of my salvation when God saved me. Not because God didn't love me and God hadn't talked to me about some things, but I'm sure that every time Methuselah grunted, that Enoch thought, I wondered if this is when it's really fixing to take place. Talking about the Lord calling him home and what else is involved in that. And just walking with God. I learned a long time ago as a preacher, one of the best things that I could do was find some men who had been in the ministry for years, getting on up in age, and just getting around, not talking, let them do the talking, because I could learn some things because of the experiences that they'd already had and went through. And I wonder what it'd be like if we sat down this afternoon with Enoch and just listened to what he's talking about as all of this is taking place in his life. My own feelings here is that probably Enoch and the Lord had been together all day. It's getting close to sundown and getting close to supper time. And I'm from the South, and I just spoke right. It is supper. The dinner bell rings at noon. So you go to dinner at 12 o'clock. You go to supper at 6 o'clock. Now, if you don't like that, just go talk to the Lord. He might help you out some. And I got God backing him up. He didn't say when he called us out we was going to eat dinner. He said we're going to the Lord's Supper. And so I don't argue with me, argue with God. And so here it is. And just walking with him. And as they fellowshipped and all that, and I'm sure that there was a certain expression might have come across the face of Enoch. And finally the Lord looked at him and said, Enoch, I'll tell you what. We've been together all day and I believe we're close to my home. Come on over and spend the night with me. Boy, that must have been something else, hadn't it? And so, let's just think about walking with God for a moment. Number one, walking with God implies a start, a predetermined place. And as I said that this morning, that would be at Calvary. All of this starts at Calvary. When Jesus was born, the religious world did not want him around. They began to make plans even at that very moment to put Jesus to death. And the religious crowd was ahead of it. Let me take the Apostle Paul for just a minute. Paul crucified the church going and coming. And Paul was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was religious. He knew the law inside and outside. Paul had to know most of the book of Deuteronomy by heart to be able to be called a man. Not a man of God, but just a man. Because that's the way the Jews do it. And he had to do that when he was about 12, 13 years of age. Something in that order. And Paul never knew what it was to go by the way of the cross until he met Jesus on the Damascus Road. And God was so kind to him that the brightness of God struck him down and caused him to be temporarily blind for a little while. Till God got his attention and told him why he did to him there on the Damascus Road. So first of all, it's the cross. The cross. And may I add to that, it's not only the cross, it's the blood. If you're heavy laden and weary and walking and in the things of the world and never been to Calvary, maybe you ought to go by Calvary and sit down for a few minutes with the Lord Jesus and just have the locked jaw for a little while and let God do the calling, talking, and I believe you'll wake up and find out you've met the best person you'll ever meet anywhere in the world, and you'll come to know somebody that'll love you in spite of all that you are. And so here it is. It starts somewhere. It's got to start somewhere. And so we think about it. Then secondly, this afternoon, it implies fellowship with God. Turn with me, if you will, to 1 John chapter number 1, and let's look at a couple of verses there. 1 John chapter number 1. I'll wait on you for a second. When you get it, say amen. John chapter number 1 and verse number 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. This then is the message. Here we go. This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness. May I say very kindly this afternoon, it is dark in the world that we're walking in today. Sin is on the rampage. The devil is having a happy day. He thinks he's a winner. He's forgotten that he was defeated at the cross of Calvary. Our Savior is not dead. Buddha and all that crowd is dead. And my Lord, my Savior, my King, my friend, sits at the right hand of God the Father making intercession for us today. And to have fellowship with Him is something else. I enjoy coming to Gilead. I don't remember most of His name most of the time. But I still enjoy the fellowship. Especially when you invite me to things like the banquet in February, the fish fry, and all of that stuff. I don't care where you talk to me, just as long as the food's there. And that's the part of fellowship. And listen, have you ever really sat down and thought that when we sit down at the marriage supper of the Lamb and the fatted calf has been what word can I use? Anyway, it's been bathed in its mother's milk before it's cooked. And again, I'm from the South, and I believe that fatted calf will be so tender, Brother Huff, that we won't have to worry about a fork. Just pick it up with your fingers and eat it. And God said we'll sop with Him. I hope you know what sop is. That's to have a good homemade catfish. And for you educated folk, that's a biscuit. And you take that thing and break it about half in two with the gravy that's there. And you just wipe it through there and put it up to your mouth and go, shoop! And so you have fellowship with God. And we're going to have a good time there. It would be magnificent, Brother Gillis, to see the face of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to sit down with the Master of Masters, the Lord of Lords, and the King of Kings. And I say to you tonight that the church is missing that today, because we're taught about everything else except what we ought to be talking about, and we need to come back to the place that we have fellowship with God. Matter of fact, I'm old enough to know that the church house is not the only place that I can have fellowship with God. I can walk through the woods and have fellowship with God. Matter of fact, there's a lot of times I do walk through the woods and just talk to God like He's walking right alongside of me. And to be truthful, He is. And so here it is. Fellowship. That's two fellows in a boat going down the river, rowing in the same direction. And so we need to keep ourselves in fellowship with God. Listen, this is what's along with a lot of marriages in our country today. Man and wife don't even know how to fellowship together anymore. They don't know how to, let me be a lover for just a minute. The man today needs to learn how to talk sweet nothing in his dear wife's ears. Amen. You're welcome. By the way, I'm smart enough to know you women are able to control any man you want to control. I heard of a man not long ago in Macon that on Saturday morning that he'd get up and take a bath and put on all this shaving lotion and stuff, not knowing that shaving alcohol and that shaving lotion would dry out his skin. But he'd do all of that, and he told his wife he was going to meet some friends to play golf. But she got wise. So one morning when he took a shower, she went in the other shower and took a shower too. She done exactly what he'd been doing. And his wife smelled so good, he couldn't go out and meet the other woman that he'd been meeting. You say, that's not true. Oh, yes, it's true. He was having fellowship at the wrong house. He said, preacher, you ought not bring up all that stuff. Well, you ought to get right with God. There's just as many voices in the church crowd today as there are in the world's crowd. Yeah. Because there's no fellowship. I tell you, there's a cold breath passing this pulpit. Fellowship. It not only implies that there's a predetermined place, but it also implies that there's fellowship with God. But now I want you to turn to Romans chapter number 6, and we'll see something else in the Word of God. In Romans chapter 6 and verse number 16, we'll start there. And we'll find that he says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine, that we heard about that doctrine this morning, from the heart, from the doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this thing right here, I'm talking about this outside body called the flesh, is my biggest trouble. It's your biggest trouble. When you surrender to this, you're asking for trouble. I mean, you're really asking for trouble. So what am I going to do? I'm going back to what I've just talked about in fellowship. I'm going back. And I'm going to say to the devil, if you can do something with the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, I'll listen to you. But if you can't do anything with the book, the blood, and the blessed hope, we don't have anything to talk about or to deal with. Just move on. And so we're there for service. I've had people over the years to tell me that they don't need to visit. That's what they paid me as a pastor for. No, you pay me as a pastor to preach the Word of God. And the rest of it is just as much your obligation as it is mine. And so we're to serve God. By the way, you can serve God by coming down to the church house and cleaning the bathrooms. You can also serve God by coming here and vacuuming the floor. When I got here this morning, there was somebody out here in the yard with a blower blowing the driveway off out here and all that kind of stuff. All of those kinds fall into the service of God. By the way, I heard a list this morning of people that really needed prayer. And you could come down to the church house or your house or get out in the woods somewhere or another and make you an altar and fall down and present their names before the throne of Christ and pray that God will touch them and heal them and help them to live in the light that they can understand why God loves them so much. I mean, there's many ways that we can serve the Lord. I'll show you. Is your son back there, sir? Okay, yeah. He's not listening. He's fellowshipping with God. I'll put it that way. I had a missionary when I was pastoring in Florida that came and had three children, two girls and a little boy about this size. Because that one was 9 years old that came to the church. And I found out that he could preach, and I asked him, I said, they tell me you can preach and that God's called you to preach. He said, yeah. I said, I'll tell you what. I'm going to give you 10 minutes to speak. Will you do that? He said, I'll try. I tell you what. He used every second of 10 minutes. And he preached. I mean, 9 years old, he preached. His daddy was embarrassed. His daddy couldn't even hold him a light to that night in what he preached. I'll tell you what, that young'un really preached. And by the way, don't tell me that young people like this little fellow and others can't learn the Word of God. If they can lay there in front of that television, 18 months old, 24 months old, and learn them commercials, them songs in those commercials and things like that. At that age, they can learn the Word of God. And even if they're in the nursery, teach them the Word of God even then. I need a little help if you don't mind. I had a piano player one time that had a newborn baby, and she'd put that baby right over there on that pew in that pumpkin seat or whatever you call it. And by the time it was 18 months old, it was singing some of the hymns that we would sing because she heard us sing them every Sunday, heard her mother playing the piano, and all of that. And I hope she grew up to really be a servant of God as well. But it implies service. There's all kinds of ways that we can serve God. And as far as that goes, you're going to celebrate the preacher's birthday, and Brother Huff is going to do the has caught the fish and going to fry the fish. And so some of you could come over here and wait on the tables and help him with some of those things. And if there's any dishes, you can hang around long enough after you eat free and wash the dishes and help clean up so somebody else don't have to come in and do it. And I can hear the preacher at a long distance tonight hollering, "Amen, Brother McGowan, tell them." And so here it is, imply the service of God. Then I find that walking with God implies something else. Turn back a few pages again and turn to 1 Peter, if you would. And we'll look at a couple of verses. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 16. Verse number 15. "But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy." Hang on. Let me get off this platform. Somebody ought not have to ask us if we're saved. The expression that we're saved ought to be right up here. It ought to live in us. You think about it. Holy. We're afraid to raise our hands. We're afraid to say amen. We're afraid to say hallelujah. We're afraid to say praise the Lord. But I got news for you. Baptist folk were shouting before the Pentecostal movement was ever started. We're so afraid somebody's going to call us a holy roller. Well, God may have to roll you over before he ever gets it, but he's going to eventually get it. You just by well make up your mind that you're going, if you're saved, if you're a believer in Christ, if you're one of God's children, you're going to praise God. Sooner or later, it may come at a high cost, but it's coming. It's coming. I know it's coming. Yeah. I already know that. I don't have to wait for it to happen. And I'm not one of those kind of folk that gets really excited. I tell you what, though, if you're going to jump up and shout in here, you make sure you speak in the Georgia lingo so I can understand you. You say, "Preacher, you're wrong about the tongue with what you just said." You go back to the beginning of the Bible and you look up the word tongues or language. And both of them work off of each other, and it all means language. You always go back to the beginning, find the first time it's used in the Bible, and find the definition of it then, and run it through the Bible, and it'll carry the same definition all the way through the Word of God, unless the context says otherwise. That's doctrine, Brother Charlie. That's doctrine. And so we need to listen to God, Brother Chris, instead of listening to Brother McGowan. And so here it is. And we ought to think about what God is saying to us. And he is saying here that we're to live holy. Have you ever heard anybody do any cursing and then turn around and say, "Excuse my French"? That's a joke. I don't know any French. It's pathetic. This is an independent Baptist church, isn't it? I was saved in a Southern Baptist church, not very many miles from here. And I found out that soon after I surrendered to preach and started preaching, that many Baptist preachers would get up on Monday morning and be so weak and everything else, and you wonder, we know why they felt so bad and all. And as you carried on the conversation from all that I found out, was that it didn't go like Nashville said it was supposed to go. I didn't know Nashville was a headquarters. I didn't know Atlanta was a headquarters. I didn't know Richmond, Virginia was a headquarters either. I thought heaven was the headquarters. And I thought all of that should come from headquarters, where the Master sits, the Lord Jesus sits at the right hand of the Father. And there must be progress in our holy living. Sanctification, listen to me, sanctification, if you want my definition, sanctification means that I'm more like Christ today than I was yesterday. It means set apart. So if I'm set apart, or you're set apart, then tomorrow we're supposed to be closer to Christ than we are today. Think about it. Then again, I find walking with God also implies something else. It implies an ultimate goal. What is that goal? I'm going where God goes. That's our goal. I've learned a lot since my wife passed away. I've not changed my convictions. I have not changed my mind about what's in this Bible. But because of our relationship together, serving the Lord Jesus Christ, I have found some things in the Word of God since her death that makes life more pleasurable to me. Makes me fall in love more with the Lord Jesus. And I know the kindred spirit is there. I don't only have a longing to see my wife again. And I know this may sound bad and ugly, but I want to see my Jesus first of all. He's the one that saved me. He's the one that's taught me. He's the one that's walked with me more than I've walked with Him. He's the one that made life worth living. He's the one that sticks closer than a brother. And if I studied that word, Abba Father, it means daddy. But I like that word, Father. I've asked God for some things over the years and it never come about. But I'm not upset. I've grown enough that I'm not upset with that. Because if He did not grant it, it must have not been good for me. It must have been the flesh wanting something that I didn't need. But again, Brother Huff, just to have the privilege to walk day in and day out, day in and night out. Wake up in the night and just to be preaching and talking with God. I mean, I preach a lot of nights. I don't have to have a church to preach. God just wakes me up and let me preach anyway. I mean, it's just good. It's sweeter than honey. Amen. The Lord is so good. I like to have a good time just like you do. But I want it to be clean. I don't want it to be dishonoring to God. In about 2 weeks, I'll be in Kentucky for about a month preaching. And two of the fellows I've been preaching for, one of them was already saved when I took the church. The other one got saved. Matter of fact, and you may think this is a joke, but it's not a joke, and I've said this before here. This fellow was under such conviction, I knew that if I let him out, I probably would never get him back in church again, or probably no other preacher was going to get him in church. So we sang that morning. Our invitation time started around 10 minutes after 12. And we sang "Just As I Am" till 10 minutes to 1. And he finally stepped out. I felt like if I let him go, he wouldn't ever come to church again. Now he's been saved 50 years. And he's been having a camp meeting for 47 years. He's been pastoring 47 years now. The ultimate goal just simply means going where God goes. One day I'm going where my wife said. And the reason I want to go where my wife is, that's where my Jesus is at. And I want to see Him. There's still a lot of things that I don't understand. There's a lot of things I wished I knew more about. But as long as He'll fellowship with me and allow me to fellowship with Him, I'll be happy that I sit down in the greatest school that will ever be known about. That's at the table of the Lord. I tell you today, Jesus is coming. And I want to walk with Him. I would this afternoon that all of us would be living and not see physical death, but we would be living when the eastern sky would break. Jesus is stepped out on the cloud of glory. And as John heard Him in the book of Revelation, "Come up hither. Come up hither." By the way, I got news for you. He said He's riding the cloud. So when you see that white, billowy cloud moving across the sky, that may be the one He's riding. How about that, man? Is that all right? Walking with God. I guess one of the first friends I made when I first come here was with Robert. He's always trying to get the best of you. But He has a way of making something inside of you that you probably don't even think about come alive. And that has to be a blessing. That really has to be a gift of God. I never come in the door here. Well, Brother Gillis and I don't have something to say to each other. Of course, we both came off of Noah's Ark. And we ought to have a lot to talk about. But it's always good. There's other of you as well. I tell you what. Anybody that can't enjoy Charlie's teaching, there's something wrong with you. Either you're backslidden or not saved one. I'm talking about walking with God. For him to teach what he taught this morning, if I had to make a guess, he had to put in somewhere between 20 and 30 hours this week studying, reading, making sure what he had down matched up with other scriptures and that kind of thing. That's called communion with God. Walking with God. My youngest brother's wife is here, and one of the grand youngins, this afternoon. Margaret, I don't guess that there was ever a time that we didn't have something to talk about God. We always had a good time. Even when he was going through so much, and finally God called him home. Sometimes he'd call. He'd be so sick, he couldn't hardly handle it. But we'd get talking about things as child in our childhood and get talking about the things of the Lord. And we'd talk an hour and a half, 2 hours, 2 hours and a half, 3 hours on the telephone. Only women are supposed to do that. Men are not supposed to do it. But we had a good time. One of the amazing things about it was, I didn't know it till he passed away, and then I was told. He asked that I preach his funeral service. And he said, preach on hell. You think about that. And I know, because I saw him do it, I don't know that the people that waited on him in the hospital, that he didn't talk to them about the Lord. They got to look after you so they can't run off and hide. You got the best opportunity when you're in the hospital to talk. I was in the Griffin Hospital not long ago. And a blood fella come in there to draw blood. And before I'd ever let him draw blood, I took my Bible and opened it. I said, when I get through talking to you about what's in this book, you can draw all the blood you want to. Why? I want to be about the Master's business. I want to go where God goes. In just a few days, it's been ages, I don't know how many years it's been since I've been back to the church where God, I was going when God told me to preach. But in just a few days, I've been asked to come back and reminisce with the people how the church got started and all of that. You say, why are you going? Because there may be some people there that need to know how to start a church in another community somewhere or another. I'm not for the mega church. I'll just let you know that right now. If I can figure out anything in the Word of God, it was a community church. God established a group of people here in this community. God established a group of here in this community. God put another group of people over yonder. And that's the way it started out. And that's the way it ought to be. That way we get closer to each other and we know some things that we might lift one another up and hold one another up. And because, my dear friend, I believe Jesus can come today before we get out of this building. My doctrines teacher that I had, Dr. Robert Burnett, was killed in, it was not, well, he was really destroyed, really, in a head-on collision. He died 30 days after the wreck. But I am told that while he was in the hospital in Chattanooga, that he won every doctor, every nurse, every assistant nurse that waited on him in those 30 days, that he won every one of them to Christ. Couldn't talk. All of this down through here was cut off. But he done it by writing notes. Can I ask you a question? Where are you going to spend eternity at? I know we're in church. I understand. But if I were to call a certain preacher by name, you'd know him. But that preacher said at one time, he's dead tonight, he's dead now. But he said one time while he was alive, that I know of, that he said this. He said somewhere between 70 and 80% of the people who had their name on a church roll would die without Christ. Baptist Mid-Mission used to put out a little strip of paper that you could put on the door facing. So when you go out of this building, it says, leaving this place, or something of that nature, leaving this place, you're entering the mission field. I tell you, even churches are a mission field today. You say, well, you think you're the only one, right? No, I'm not. I admit that. The only one that's right is Jesus. And if you don't know Him, you don't know the right person. Are you going where He goes? Or better than that, do you know Him? I mean, do you really know Him? Are you listening to me? Do you really know Him? I know Chris. But that's about as far as I can go with it. I know that he leads the singing. I know a little bit about the kind of work he does. I know that he leads the singing here. But I don't really know him. That's all I can tell you about him. I believe he's a saved man. And I believe he said enough to me that I can inject that into what I'm saying right now. But I'd like to hear every one of your story. Okay? Oh, here's a good way to find out something. If I asked you this afternoon, as an individual, in this service right now, to stand up and tell me when you got saved and how you know you were saved, can you do it? I think it's good if you can know the month, the day of the week, the year, all of it. It's important. I mean, you don't have to know those things to know that you're saved, but it's good if you do know them. I mean, how do you know your name is what it is? You got a piece of paper that's called a birth certificate. And your mom and daddy told you who you were and all of that. But only God knows who we really are. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to walk with God. I want to walk with God's people. I want to fellowship with God's people. Now I'll close with this statement. Are you walking with God? Are you walking with God? Let's stand together.